Why do you think it's important for entrepreneurs to embrace discomfort to succeed?
Because there's no option. That was it. But I mean it, right? For the pause for effect is because there's no option. The only thing, how many people in the audience, I know this is a podcast and they're listening, I'm doing this selfishly, are parents? Raise your hands. When you become a parent, something changes. You realize you're the last line of defense for this human. And it changes, it triggers something in you. Your life changes. You don't sleep the same way. There's something else that you massively have to worry about in addition to your own safety. Well, that's the truth of entrepreneurship. Like, especially when you go global, I have a global company. People are like, how do you wake, you know, like everyone's pushing us for healthier behavior. I have a lot of great healthy behaviors. I sleep a ton, which is always confusing to people. They think I'm one of these, like, I sleep 6, 7, 8 hours because I need it, because I'm on when I'm awake. I eat very clean. I do a lot of good things. One thing I don't do that is considered a good thing to do is the second I wake up, I grab my phone so fast, you couldn't even imagine. Not because I want to, because it's my responsibility. I have to look if anything happened in Singapore or in San Francisco. Like, it's my responsibility. I'm always on. We just got out of the holidays. It's my favorite time when the whole world is off because it's the only time that I can vacation. I can't take a normal vacation. I have too much responsibility because even if I did take a week off next week, I can't be calm. There's too much going on and I'm gonna come back to it. It's not like when I took, like when you work somewhere, you leave, like you can actually get away from that week some way, somehow. Not when you own something. So it's an intense game, but why should they get comfortable? It's because they have no options. You know, I think for people that are entrepreneurs, and really actually I think about this in the context of life, I think that we have it a little bit misunderstood. I think in general, the journey of the game of business and entrepreneurship is a constant flow of micro losing with the occasional macro win, if it goes great. You know, so for me, confessions, I mean, there's been so many mistakes. As a matter of fact, the book that the audience has, it's called 12 and a half. It's because in the book I talk about the fact that candor as a leader has been very hard for me, which is always shocking for people who follow me on social media, because as Gary Vee, candor is actually my ultimate strength. I get to it. In this interview, candor will be my strength. But in real life, when I'm an executive, and really as a human being, the more I know you and care about you, the harder it was for me to tell you the things that I was struggling with that you were doing. And so I think about all the sloppy firings in my 20s and 30s in my family wine business and even in VaynerMedia early on that could have been done so much more gracefully, could have been so much more clear. I used to let people sit around the company for 3, 6, 12, 24 months longer than they should have.
Really?
And so I thought I was being a good guy, right? I was saying like, oh, well, I'm paying them and they stink. And in reality, even 18 months later, when finally in a roundabout way they would get fired, they would be double angry. And it was because I wasn't able to give feedback along the way. I wasn't able to be candorous. So it's a huge, huge vulnerability that I'm so glad I'm making progress on.
So you've changed that now. If someone's not doing something, we talked about this earlier. Do you give them scope to improve, or do you just say, this is not working, bang?
There's a lot to this. This could, maybe I should lay down on this couch. My father, who I worked for from 14 to 34, was very good at candor. The problem was it was delivered with venom.
Right.
And I wasn't able to discern the delivery mechanism from the value of the candor. So I demonized candor because I viewed it as fear. And I think all of us here know that many times when people have been given critical feedback, that person ran back and went to their LinkedIn and started looking for another job. Because we didn't land, the reason I call it kind candor is I think, you know, I have a lot of respect for the concept of radical candor. I have a lot of concept respect for candor. But I think what is required is kind candor. And now that, now don't mistake the word kind for delusional and entitlement. Kind candor. So it's a very fine line to tell someone you are falling short, subjectively in my opinion. A lot of times when leaders leave feedback to people and giving them feedback, they act as if it's absolute truth. It's absolute truth from their subjective opinion, but they happen to be in a position where they have to make that subjective call. So finding that balance has been quite challenging. But I've made a million business mistakes. I passed on Uber twice in the angel round. If I wrote the normal $25,000 to $50,000 check that I was writing back then as an investor, I would have made $500 million.
Yeah, that's a big mistake.
That's a big mistake. That one hurts.
But you've owned it. And you move on?
Of course I talk about it, because you know, people, when people are like, well, you invested in Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr, and like, it can look real good, but like, yes, and I did really well, but I thought Yo Bongo was gonna be the biggest app I ever invested in. Now, to my credit, Yo Bongo was 2 years earlier than Tinder, and Tinder was a very big success. So when I saw Yo Bongo, I'm like, wait, you can know the people around you? I'm like, yeah, people are gonna hook up. You know, like, and I got it. But what I learned by passing on Uber, and I invested in Uber a little bit after that, but by the time the valuation changed, it changed my outcome dramatically. It was still very early. My brother AJ took the first Uber in Manhattan. So it was early, but it wasn't early enough for this game-changing thing. But in that window of investing in Yo Bongo because I loved the idea, and not investing in Uber early enough because I underestimated what the power of a good operator meant, I learned a lot, which is today I invest first based on what I think about the person, second about what I think about the idea. Entrepreneurship is uncomfortably lonely. For all the people that are sitting here that live in corporate jobs and put entrepreneurs or fantasize about doing their own thing, you know, people are like, Gary, I wanna leave my job and be my own boss. I'm like, being an entrepreneur and CEO means everyone's your boss. I work for everyone that's sitting in that front row. And I really like feel that, like actually no bullshit. Am I allowed to curse?
No.
Oh. What's great about entrepreneurship is you make your own rules. So, you know, I think, you know, the grass is always greener. Entrepreneurship is my great passion. I spoke about it rapidly, amassing my audience. And then I had to take a step back 5 to 7 years ago and say, wait a minute, I grew up when entrepreneurship was demonized and not even cool. Everybody had to go to uni and get great grades. Now we've flipped too far in the other direction. I better start talking about entrepreneurship's not for everyone, because it's not. The amount of people that go into entrepreneurship because it's cool and then find themselves incredibly depressed, because the thing about entrepreneurship is it's like sports. You can't hide when you fail. When you get fired at a job, it's your boss's fault. Right? But when you start a company and it goes out of business, there's nowhere to hide. And the world has fallen in love with blaming everyone. Governments, parents, companies, systems, social networks. The world has become remarkably good at blaming everyone. We do not like accountability. Entrepreneurship is the ultimate accountability. I say to my company all the time, because it's true, 100% of what's wrong at VaynerMedia is 100% my fault. Because it's true. Because if you're mad at somebody over here, well, I hired that person, or I hired the person that hired that person. And I have the ability to do something about it. Nobody in my company of the 2,000 employees globally has 100% autonomy to do anything about it, about anything other than me. So when you start to understand what that game is, that is not for everyone.